Hi, welcome to the Integrative Health Podcast with Dr. Jen Plegar. This podcast is meant to educate and empower about important health topics. Dr. Jen's passion is to get to the root cause of disease and prevent illness. She will also feature guests who are experts in their fields and experiences in all things related to integrative medicine.
Hello there, it's Dr. Jen. So I want to start doing some literature reviews with you guys. I think it will be very fun, keep you guys up to date on what's going on. So today I want to talk about NAC, or N-acetylcysteine. I love this molecule. I think it's great. It's a great as a supplement. I actually first used NAC in the ER with dealing with Tylenol overdoses. And what happens, Tylenol depletes glutathione, as we know, because that's why I'm not a big fan of Tylenol at all. And NAC is the precursor to glutathione. So NAC, given after a Tylenol overdose, it actually saves and preserves the liver, because otherwise Tylenol is notorious for, you know, causing liver failure when people do overdose on that, and it's very, very nasty. So we're going to talk about a few studies in regards to NAC with the pandemic, okay? NAC is used for a bunch of other things. It's a precursor to glutathione. I love using it, post-vaccine protocol for people to help detoxify some of the adjuncts. I love using it in my mold patients. All of these things. Also very good for sinus support and thyroid health. So, but let's talk about it with COVID. So a study from the Therapy of Clinical Risk Management in 2020 titled N-acetylcysteine to Combat COVID-19 in Evidence Review, and I'll link to this. So this basically is a summary, which is good, right? These articles are good. Talks about NAC, what it does, its relation to COVID, how it could possibly be a direct inhibitor, how it has immune modulating properties, all of these things. So this is all good. This article is great. You guys can read it all. It talks about NAC can reduce incidence of pneumonia given 600 milligrams twice a day. They reviewed a study on mechanically ventilated patients that developed pneumonia, mainly ventilator-associated pneumonia in the ICU. They gave them NAC, and they had clinically less significant confirmed pneumonia than with the placebo group, 26 versus 46. Also showed improved lung function to reduce mortality rate by IV NAC. So they looked at H1N1 infections and all of that, okay? But what about any studies dealing directly with COVID? So a study titled N-acetylcysteine, a tool to perturb SARS-CoV-2 spike protein conformation. And the main author on this was Usab Debnath. And this was from India, this paper. And, I'll read a little bit of a summary of the abstract. So the virus attaches itself to human epithelial cells through non-covalent bonding of its spike protein with angiotensin-converting enzyme 2, that's the ACE2 receptor on the host cells. So their hypothesis was using NAC to kind of break that disulfide bond, okay? And then data is showing that NAC is an antioxidant and mucolytic agent used widely in clinical medicine, forms covalent conjugates with solvent-accessible cysteine residues as a spike protein that were disulfide bonded in state. So basically, they did in silico analysis, and it showed that the interaction residues of the spike protein that resulted in threefold weakening in the binding affinity of the spike protein with ACE2 receptors. Antiviral assay using VIRO-E6 cells showed that NAC caused 54.3% inhibition in SARS-CoV-2 replication. Interestingly, almost all SARS CoV-2 variants can conserve cysteine residues in the spike protein. Our observation results open avenues for exploring in vitro pharmacopreventative and therapeutic potential of NAC for coronavirus 2019. So it's really cool, and this is because the reduction of the exposed disulfide bonds in the protein can be achieved through this thiol disulfide exchange mechanism via the free thiol group of the reducing agent, such as NAC. Okay, and if this article is really cool because it shows actual the how it breaks it up and how, you know, where the lungs are, that NAC goes in and breaks up that protein complex, which is needed for binding and, you know, further viral replication. So another study, now this is a hypothesis, okay, and this was from the FASEB journal. And this was rationale for the use of N-acetylcysteine in both prevention and adjunct therapy of COVID. And this was from Italy. Silvia De Flora was the main one. So once again, this is a great article just summarizing how NAC has been used in the past for, you know, oxidative stress, inflammation, immune response, all of that, and how it's been used in the past and potential for looking at this in responses of an overzealous cytokine response. Now, this is an actual, it's a two-centered retrospective cohort study, okay? Now, I don't like retrospective ones as much, right? They're not as good, but you know, when something does, it's a low risk, high reward, I think this is something we should look at this. This is from Infectious Disease, 2021, June 29th. N-acetylcysteine reduces the risk for mechanical ventilation and mortality in patients with COVID-19 pneumonia, a two-center retrospective cohort study. So their aim was to evaluate NAC as a potential impact on hospitalized patients with COVID-19 pneumonia in terms of progression to severe respiratory failure and mortality. And they had 82 patients, 42 in the NAC group and 40 in the control. And what their endpoints were the development of severe respiratory failure, okay? And the treatment with the oral NAC led to significantly lower rates of progression to severe respiratory failure as compared to the control group with a p-value of less than 0.01. Patients in the NAC group presented significantly lower 14 and 28-day mortality as compared to the controls. And NAC treatment significantly reduced 14 and 28-day mortality in patients with severe disease. NAC improved over time the PO2, FiO2 ratio, and decreased the white blood cell, CRP, D-dimers, and LDH levels. In a multivariable logistic regression analysis, non-severe illness and NAC administrations were independent predictors of 28-day survival. So the conclusion of this two-centered retrospective cohort, and it was only 82 patients, but at least they're looking at something with this stuff. Oral NAC administration, so this was 1,200 milligrams per day, so 600 milligrams twice a day, in patients with COVID-19 pneumonia reduces the risk for mechanical ventilation and mortality. And our findings seem to be confirmed by a properly designated prospective clinical trial. So that's good, and that's just looking at two centers retrospectively, so they look at the data, and you know, the studies that were actually giving this tend to have reduced risk for mechanical ventilation and mortality. This is oral acetylcysteine. Okay, so this paper article from Pharmacological Reports a pilot study on IV NAC treatment in patients with mild to moderate COVID-19 associated acute respiratory distress syndrome. And this, the main author was Abbas Tahal. And this was a single center clinical trial to assess the potential benefits of N-acetylcysteine in patients with COVID-19 associated acute respiratory disease syndrome, or ARDS. This was 92 patients with mild to moderate COVID-19 associated ARDS. And then they were allocated to placebo, 45 cases, or NAC, 47 cases. And besides the standard of care treatment, which we all know what that is, which is basically just steroids and remdesivir right now at the hospitals, the patient received either IV NAC at the dose of 40 milligrams per kilogram per day, or the placebo for 3 consecutive days. Now, this study, they did not find any differences in the 28-day mortality rate between the two groups. So it was 25% versus 31% in the NAC and placebo. Although the distribution of the clinical status at day 28 shifted towards better outcomes in the NAC group, it did not reach a statistical significant level. And similar results were achieved in terms of the proportion of patients who required invasive ventilator support and the number of ventilator-free and the median time of ICU and hospital stay. So unfortunately, it was better for the NAC group, the NAC, but it wasn't clinically significant. But if that was my family member, I'd want them to err on the side of what's going to be better. So this trial was registered at clinicaltrials.gov, and this was a pilot study. It did not support the potentials of IV NAC in treating patients. So they said more studies needed to determine which COVID-19 patients benefit from NAC. All right, so those, I just wanted to go through some studies. I wish that they would be doing more. I see from my standpoint that NAC is a low risk, high reward, and it does really help break up the secretions. And its properties of more anti-inflammatory and immune support just make it a winner in my book. The interesting thing that I see when I do organic acid testing on patients is that a lot of people, they either have really depleted glutathione or really depleted NAC, which NAC is the precursor to glutathione. And usually these are in patients that have mold or candida or methylation issues or toxin exposures, which we live in a pretty toxic world now. So if you're already depleted with the glutathione in the NAC, you know, what does that, how are you going to do with this virus? So, I mean, I wish there was a way to study it well and almost test people's levels before and after, because if you do these studies, you don't know if they have something else going on. And that's the bizarre thing with COVID is, you know, it kind of brings out your weaknesses almost, I'd like to think. You know, with how you handle it, what's your overall toxic burden, what's your overall metabolic health and everything like that. So definitely just gotta keep working towards better health. Stay away from that high fructose corn syrup, which, oh, everyone loves. I just don't understand it. So we really gotta get our country back to health. So I hope that helped reviewing some of those papers. There's a few more new treatments that were added to some guidelines that I follow, so I'm going to go over those next week.
This podcast is created and hosted by Jen Flegar and is for informational purposes only. It is not medical advice. This podcast disclaims responsibility for adverse effects from use of information contained in this podcast. This podcast does not promote opinions of their guests as their own and does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests of the show or endorse any qualifications for the guests of this podcast. Guests may have financial disclosures. If you think you have a medical problem, consult your personal physician or team. Thank you for joining.